Well, good morning. Well, welcome to church. You may be seated. Does anybody feel like 2025 just went? It just went so quick. And does anybody's 2025, what we're believing for at the start of the year in terms of what happened at the end of the year, was there right on track? I just want to know, has anybody broken their New Year's resolution? Or did anybody set a New Year's resolution? Anyone? Okay. Has anyone broken that yet? Just Oscar? No, just kidding. look at this on the screen. I saw this meme this week. What is exactly the New Year's resolution? It's a to-do list for the first week of January. And the next one is... I thought that was funnier, but... all right, you can put that down. Well, we are, as shared last week, we're very grateful for everything that happened in 2025. And God moved across the heart of this church, and He's moving in people's hearts. And the collective unity in this room is commanding a blessing. God is moving in our midst. And it's really awesome to be a part of that, to know that God is telling His story through the people of Exchange. And I love how He does it personally through people, and then He brings that thing that you went through or that victory that you had, and it becomes relevant in the context of the body of Christ. It's wonderful how God does that. And you see Him kind of moving pieces around and doing what only God can do. So it's a real privilege to be a pastor and see God do that and hear the testimonies and hear the stories and hear the victories. I'm believing that if there was stuff that didn't go your way in 2025, then in 2026, you're going to see breakthrough and victory. Amen. Don't quit because that was a bad year. It might have just been a setup year for what God's going to do in 2026. And who knows, maybe the pain that you felt in 2025 becomes part of the foundation of what helps you stand in 2026. And I know for myself, that's been part of our testimony of going through seasons, but not quitting in a season. Imagine if you just quit and didn't get to see what God was going to do on the other side. So God, this morning, we just thank You for the privilege and the opportunity, Lord, to continually serve Your house. Lord, we are glad when they said unto Thee, let us come into the house of the Lord. God, I pray that that would be the spirit of Exchange in 2026. Lord, the privilege of worshiping You, of being in Your house, Lord, and of growing and moving forward for what it is that You have for us. Lord, we thank You for a year of victory and breakthrough in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, a lot of people, as you know, we've called the church to a corporate fast. And this was an invitation. It wasn't an expectation. It was, hey, we're not asking you to fast. We're inviting you to fast because we are believing for in 2026 to be our greatest year yet. We're believing for God to do above and beyond all that we could imagine. I love that Ellie shared that there's going to be a vision day on February 7th. Well, truth be told, the reality is God's just telling His story. Amen. And as I shared last week, our vision is the Bible. Amen. I don't feel like you add to or take from, and we're not trying to stand out. We're just trying to represent the truth of God's word. We're trying to be ambassadors for Christ, and that's our heart as a church. And I am excited and very grateful that a bunch of people have actually made the decision to fast in January. And I know some of you have gone into territory that you've never been before. And it's exciting. And I'm really excited for your faith. I'm really excited for what God's going to do and how God's going to speak to you in this little fasting season, which is really encouraging. I would also say that our goal as a church, we're not fasting for a building. We're fasting for intimacy with God. Amen? And that's really important. For a building is a secondary reason to fast, but I pray that God gets the glory in all of your secondary reasons to fast, whatever they are. But the primary reason is to glorify God and intimacy with Him. Here's a verse that I've had on my heart since this fast began, and it's James 4:8. It's a beautiful verse, paraphrased, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you feel distant from God in 2025, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Don't draw near to circumstances. Don't draw near to negativity. Don't draw near to social media. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This is a promise from Scripture. And I want to encourage you, one of the things that you're doing when you fast is you are drawing near to God. And there's still plenty of time in January to fast. Listen to what intimacy produces in Scripture. And this is our goal as a church to fast. Spiritual transformation produces, intimacy with God produces the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As you yield to God's Spirit, that's Galatians 5:22. Intimacy with God produces true fulfillment and purpose. I know some of you had question marks at the end of your vision statements and goals of, is this from God or why do I still feel empty? One of the benefits of drawing near to God is true fulfillment and purpose. It replaces worldly desires leading to an abundant life only found in God, not people. Isn't that awesome? Just drawing near to God. I can say I'm in my fast right now, and it's not that God's speaking to me more clearly, it's the spirit of an expectation for 2026. It's like we've been talking about asking the Spirit to fill us, and I just feel really encouraged and really excited that God's going to move in a significant way in 2026. One of the other benefits is supernatural strength and courage. Some of us have been looking for strength through sleep, but you can get strength through the Holy Spirit. Give strength to enduring suffering, overcome temptation, and obey God at even a great cost. Another one is obedience and trust. It fosters a deep desire to know God, trust, and obey God, reflecting Jesus' perfect example of yielding to the Father's will. It's one of the benefits of intimacy and drawing close to God. Another one in 2026 that you might need after overcoming 2025, if 2025 was a year, is love for others. Enables you to extend the same unconditional love, grace, and mercy you received from God to others. Wouldn't that be nice? To be able to have a reshot at some of the relationships that didn't go to plan. And I believe intimacy with God gives you that same grace and unconditional love that Jesus gives us. Spiritual insight and wisdom, it brings nourishing insights and an internal perspective, on life. That's been my journey for the last 2 or 3 years, is the shift from a terminal mentality to an eternal mentality. It changes how you prioritize your time, how you prioritize your resource, your relationships, because eternity is forever. And we will be in eternity forever. And that shift and having that spiritual insight to discern, God, where do you want me? Why do you want me there? Who do you want me with? Thinking intentionally for God's kingdom. Healing, allowing God, the divine physician, to heal wounds and speak truth into painful past experiences. I mean, how awesome is it? You just draw close to God, and this is a byproduct of what happens. And God can heal some of that stuff that happened in the past. And finally, Christ-like character leads to reflecting Jesus' sacrificial love through actions like helping the needy, sick, and imprisoned. Because that's not something that we naturally want to do on our own strength. This is something that God puts in us through our relationship with him. There's one thing that I've always said at Exchange Church with regards to my family and regards to my kids. I never feared that they would get caught up in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I don't want them to get caught up in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Sex in the right context. But sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I feared that they wouldn't have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I fear that they won't know God and encounter Him in a real personal way, because that's what changes your life. That's what sets sail on a different course. It's that encounter, that authentic, real Jesus is in the room. The Holy Spirit is in my heart. He's in my life, and I'm experiencing Him on the day. That's what changes people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to encourage you, if you are fasting, you will have ups and downs. And again, with the consultation of medical advice, we always say that because wisdom is key in this process. But part of the process of fasting, it's a consecration of your flesh. You are making a conscious decision to sacrifice my self-ambition or my selfish desire to set apart time to seek God. Every time I'm supposed to eat, I'll spend time with God, or I'll be praying, or I'll be reading scripture. That's the transition that happens. When you don't eat, you find you've got a lot of time on your hands. Amen? People who have fasted before just laughed because they know. Well, 2025 is done. 2025 is done, and for us as a church, it was a fantastic, wonderful year. God did so much. We went from being non-church building owner to a church building owner. That's a significant change in 2026, in 2025. That's a significant change. I believe my relationship with God grew closer. I believe that, and I've watched a lot of people have been maturing in their walk, in their relationship with Jesus. But I believe, as it's most popularly said in church, the best is yet to come. That God has more. Something that we learn at the end of every year is that a lot can change in a year. A lot changes. And that word change caught my attention. Change. How does that happen? What are the motivating forces behind it, or the contributing forces? How does change at a foundational level take place? Now, we can, at the beginning of the year, and it's the popular time to do it, is write down all our visions and our goals. We love to do that. And I think it's a good thing to do that. And sometimes our vision and our goals come to pass. And other times, when we get to the end of the year, you are in a completely different place than you expected. It's not what you thought it was going to be. Things changed. You know, I think change is something that happens from you, and change can happen to you. But lots of people, and I think this is a good thing, write down their visions and goals. But at a foundational level, when we write down our vision and we write down our goals, my question is where does it come from? What's motivating to whatever it is that you wrote down on that piece of paper? Because it's quite significant, whatever you write can have a significant impact on how the end of 2026 looks. Now, does that thing that you've written, does it come from God? Does it come from Jesus? Does it come from the Holy Spirit? Is it something that He's spoken to you to write down on a piece of paper? Or has it come from Scripture, when the Holy Spirit's revealed something to you and you say, that's my verse for 2026? Where does it come from? Or maybe it comes from something much more sinister. Does my goals, and you have to be brave to actually investigate and do a deep dive into self to ask this question, does it come from comparison? Do I want to upgrade my house because my neighbor upgraded their house? Or do I want to upgrade my car because my neighbor upgraded their car? Is comparison at the heart of, do I want to put my kids in that school? Because if I don't, then they'll never be rich. Or they'll never be successful. Or maybe it comes from a more sinister place, scarcity. Maybe it comes from an unhealthy desire that's in there. And I want to ask myself these questions to make sure that I'm not motivated by Mark, but I'm motivated by God. Because I don't want to get to the end of 2026 and think, well, that was a doozy. Oops. Because I didn't take the time at the beginning of the year to allow the Holy Spirit to challenge me and to inspire me and to speak to me about what the end, about what he wants to do in 2026 and through my life. In reality, vision and goals are just a fancy way of saying that you're believing for the end of 2026 to be different than the beginning of 2026. Basically, what in reality is you are saying, you are believing for change. You're believing for change to take place. My financial position to change, my relational position, my marriage to change, my relationship with my kids. You're believing for things to change. You want the end of 2026 to look different than the start of 2026. Sometimes, and something that you should know about change, is that change is inevitable. You can't stop change. It's going to happen. Even if you put your head in the ground and say, oh, I'm not really a goal setter. That's not my personality, vision. I'll just let life happen. Well, even if you put your head in the ground, is it the emu or the ostrich? One of them do it. The ostrich put their head in the ground. Did you know change is still going to happen? Regardless. So you might as well be a participant in change. And you might as well be in partnership with God and the Holy Spirit in that change, rather than allow change to happen to you. I think that we have a responsibility. The Bible talks about the principle of sowing and reaping, and that God won't be mocked. This is a kingdom principle, is that you reap what you sow. So I'm praying, God, give me wisdom in what I sow so that what I reap doesn't render me a victim because I didn't have any maturity or wisdom in what I was sowing. So that when I reap in 2026, it was expected rather than unexpected because I was trusting God. Even if you put your head in the ground and ignore the reality of change, it is still going to happen to you whether you participate or not. So let's take a look then at change at a fundamental level. And if we get the mechanics of change, I think a lot of people are actually victims of change because they don't understand the mechanics of change at a fundamental level. And when change takes place and change is unfolding in your life at a rapid pace and you feel completely out of control, I think it's because people don't understand and have not considered what change actually looks like. So at a fundamental level, here's a great question. What causes change? What is causing the change that is happening in your life today? What caused the change from 2025 at the beginning to the end of 2025, and the good change and the bad change all alike? And do we even have any participation in this process called change at all, which is a great question because maybe some people don't think we can. It's just all outside of our control. Sometimes it seems like we do, and definitely other times it seems like we don't have control. We thought we had control with the pink building. We're all in. Hey, the vision was cast. We were excited. And purely and innocently, we believed we heard God. Amen? But something changed. God had different plans. And we needed to make the adjustment to get on board with what God was doing. And that's part of this process of understanding change. In 2025, some things went your way and some things didn't go your way. Sometimes it feels like we're in control and other times it feels like we are not. And if 2025 was a disaster for you, then forget about it. Thank God for the good parts. Actually, don't forget about it. Learn about it and then move on to 2026. Amen. So let's now focus on 2026 in this context of this mechanism of change and how it works. So in 2026, I'm believing for more of God, more of what God has for me, more of what God has for you, and more of what God has for us. I believe that's a good starting point. I'm expecting God to do big things this year in the life of Exchange Church. And I'm believing that for spirit-filled and spirit-led and godly change. I'm believing that God is going to infill us, he's going to lead us, and he's going to direct us for what he wants us to do in 2025. However, this journey of godly change doesn't always begin how most people think it does. When true godly change takes place in your life, Let me just give you a free one here. You're going to change in 2026. You're going to be a different person at the end of 2026. You won't be the same. Life is going to happen to you. But that doesn't mean you're out of control and you can't participate in the change that takes place. In fact, I think God wants to partner with us and be a participant in that change because he chooses to be relational, in relationship with us, to see effective change for his kingdom. And I think that's the fun part and it's the awesome part. But Romans 12:1 says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. So let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." I want to start by saying is change in most cases starts spiritually, if not all. Change starts at a spiritual level, not a practical level. And by spiritually, I'm referring to the conflict between our godly desires put in us by the Holy Spirit and our sinful nature. At a fundamental level, we are spirit and flesh. Our spirit has selfish desires. If you let that run free, who knows what the end of 2026 will look like? But our spirit also has desires that are put there from God. And if you allow and become obedient to the Spirit of God, who knows, above and beyond all that you could imagine, what the end of 2026 is going to look like. It's me in control of 2026 versus allowing God to be in control of 2026. And this is at a fundamental level how change often takes place in our life. Coming back to when we write down our visions and our goals, did that goal come from your spirit? Was it put there by the Spirit of God, or was it by you? Or was it something, maybe it was a healthy thing, maybe it was not. But that's why I want to invite the Holy Spirit in. Galatians 5:16 says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So I say," first sentence, "so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." When I think about that word guide, I think about the Holy Spirit orchestrating and navigating change within me. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. That means that the Holy Spirit is navigating and he is orchestrating the change that's within me. Because it's not about me. It's about me presenting myself as a living sacrifice, saying, "God, it's not about me." In fact, my prayer is that as I mature in Christ, my goals and visions for 2026 are all about him, are all about glorifying him and allowing him to tell his story through me. So simply put, God has a plan for change and our sinful nature has a plan for change in 2026. God has a plan through the Holy Spirit to see true healthy change take place in your life, but also your sinful nature has a plan too. It's twisting its mustache right now, trying to work out, how can I get my way in 2026? How can I feed that desire of my flesh? How can I feed my carnal nature and my inanimate mentality towards God? That's what the flesh is doing right now. Listen to what the scripture says. If you allow the flesh nature to run free in 2026, listen to what the scripture prescribes as what will happen in Galatians 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to get it in check. And I know it's not popular to preach against the sinful nature in church today because it's all about self-help and make you grow and be more successful. But when it comes down to the foundational level, if we feed our fleshly desire and our egos, then the reality is this will become our reality in 2026. And I don't want that. Nobody wants that. People see the glory, but they don't see the other side of what takes place. We've come with that. There's a lot of lonely rich people. Nothing against being wealthy, but it's did God provide it or did you get that through your own sinful nature? Or in contrast, now let's listen to God's spiritual desires plan so that at the end of 2026, you're actually going to be flourishing rather than flunking. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I'm not one to decompartmentalize my life to a church life, a work life, a family life, and a social life, and only allow the Spirit's leading into two or three or one or that's it or none of my life. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to be in every part of my life so that I can produce this kind of fruit. You know, it's really funny. You can be firing on all three and one is unhealthy and unchecked, and it brings the whole building down. There's no peace, there's no joy. It's when we have to ask the Holy Spirit to come in. Maybe that's part of your prayer for 2026, is to actually ask the Holy Spirit, God, I'm giving you back control of this part of my life, and I'm not gonna now live a duplicit life. You know what I'm saying. So we're either allowing our sinful nature to change us, or we're allowing the Spirit of God to change us. This conflict is not new. It started in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve went from through a very significant change. Genesis 3:6 says, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give to her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So here we see this is the fall of man take place, and they became morally aware. They became morally aware of right and wrong. Genesis 3, this is the consequence of that fall. Verse 23 says, so the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground for which it had been made. So we live in this broken state of this battle between our sinful desire nature and our spiritual desired nature that was put there by God. From my experience, there are two significant factors that determine change in our lives. So if we've established that I have a sinful nature and I have a spiritual nature that is put there by God, and these two are in conflict. So how do I address that conflict? If I want to see effective change in 2026, how do I address that conflict in a manner that's healthy and that's effective and that works in a biblical manner? So I go forward and I grow forward in 2026. From my experience, there are two significant factors. Number one is our heart, and number two is our mind. It's our heart and our mind. You know, often someone says, oh, this guy's a thief, or this guy's a cheat, or this guy's a... That's not the issue. That's the fruit of what's really going on. And what's really going on at our heart level is that my heart is and my mind are not surrendered to God. And by the way, I think it's both. It's heart and mind. Have you ever met a really nice, stupid person? Or have you ever met a really smart mind, smart, dumb person who gets relationally into a mess because their heart has not matured and hasn't been surrendered to God, but they're intellectually smart? And then you've met people who have this beautiful heart, but they just get taken advantage of. Everyone just takes advantage of them all the time. And it's like, and I think to myself, how did you not see that coming? And so this is what I believe God does in order to get us into a place where we are suppressing the flesh and we are flourishing, our spirit is flourishing. It's allowing God to purify our hearts and to renew our minds. It's allowing the Holy Spirit and God to purify our hearts. It sounds really sweet as it comes off the mouth, but it's actually it's a very challenging process that we go through. And the renewal of our minds, it's very difficult to get out of an earthly mentality into a kingdom mentality and to see things the way God sees them. You know, that's what I am praying for in 2020. I just want to get personal for you right now, is my mind. I'm asking God to renew my mind so I see 1031 Leland Drive the way God sees it, not the way Mark sees it. I'm praying in 2026 that God would renew my mind, that I see people and the relationships of people that I have the way God wants me to see them, not the way I see them through my experiences and my hurt and my pain. I'm praying God to help me see things the way He sees them, to think about things the way He thinks about them, so that I don't get sucked into Mark mentality, which is part of my sinful desire and nature, which wants to train wreck those relationships rather than actually build them up the way that God sees them. Amen. So here are some scriptures, and I really felt, obviously I'd love to write stuff on this, but I really felt just to let the word do the work this morning in this little section of the message, is to let the word minister to people this morning. And these scriptures are just wonderful. Here are some scriptures that can become part of your prayer life in 2026, and you should see them on the screen. They're going to go quick, so if you want to photo them, or you can just get a copy of my notes after church with all of the spelling mistakes included as well, for free. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me." That's a bold prayer. It's a dangerous prayer, by the way. If you pray that, God might just do it. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The next time you have a conflict, guard your heart. Guard your heart. This is God's strategy against our sinful nature, is to guard your heart. Guard what God has established in your life. Amen. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Well, that's a call to challenge right there. The pure in heart. Were my motives in 2025 pure? Was God the main beneficiary of my goals? Was He number one? Was my goals and visions pure that blesses Him? Or was God the secondary blessed and I was the primary blessed? It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge to write down a vision where God gets all the glory and not me. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." So if you ever feel down in 2026, just remember that's a promise from God. Remember that even if you've messed up, even if you've failed, even if you believe the lie of the enemy that what's broken can't be repaired and healed in Jesus' name, know that our God is greater. Proverbs 3:5, says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all of your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. I love that. It's a combination of the heart and mind there. Trusting in the Lord with all of your heart and to not lean on your own understanding. Doesn't mean ignore your own understanding, by the way. Wisdom still applies. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? So there's a cautionary scripture to remind us all to keep in check in 2026. Isn't the word amazing? How it just addresses things so well. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This for me has been a continual challenge for serving God in his house. It's not about what other people see. And it's not about what other people do. It's the old question, who opens your doors and who are you doing it for? If you're doing it for God, it's very difficult to blame someone else when things go wrong, because it's for God's glory alone. I don't serve this house to get the reward of your affirmation. And I don't serve this house because of my own personal needs of insecurity and ego. I want to, in 2026, continue to serve this house because it glorifies God and it's what he's asked me to do. Amen? And that's something that God sees on the inside that no man sees on the outside. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is a challenge, a great challenge for me, for the building in 2026. And here's what the Bible teaches about the mind. Romans 12:2, do not be, and by the way, remember we talked about Romans 1, about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. This is so beautiful because it's the other half. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm believing in 2026 for mind renewal and transformation. In fact, if you haven't got that on your goals and vision list, I would absolutely put that on your goal and vision list, because a renewed, transformed mind means that you aren't thinking like the world. You're thinking and seeing and believing according to Scripture and according to God. Amen. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. I think because of social media, there is a very undisciplined thought life. I think our thought life in this generation, in this era in which we live, there's an undisciplined thought life in terms of what we dwell on. The temptation to dwell on that which takes away from, and mark my word, to not think on those things is a doorway into thinking on things that lead you to a path to the flesh. That's what it is. And so dwelling on and thinking on whatever is honorable, true, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, if you think on those things, it's amazing how much it changes the way that you see things. 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. This is significant. In 2026, you need to know, if you accepted Christ into your heart, that you have the mind of Christ. That means that when your spirit became one with him, and now his spirit's within you, he's actually putting godly desires in you and causing and allowing you to give you access to think about things the way that he does. Access by faith. So if you come across a challenge in 2026, just remember, you have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is a disciplinary scripture in 2026 to make sure that we are, I don't know how many times this happens to you, but my prayer is you can't stop thoughts coming into your head, but you can stop them staying in your head. Thoughts go in, you look at a person, poof, a thought, and it could be negative, and it could be unhealthy, and it could be the opposite of what God thinks about that person, by the way. The discipline is to actually let that thought that's not godly become captive and obedient to God, is to not let stinking thinking in 2026 get in the way. Do you know how many times in 2025 stinking thinking tried to get into the narrative of the story that God's telling about 1031 Leland Drive? Yes, yes, Captain Obvious, I know it's not a complete building. Yes, I know the roof's leaking. But God's not looking at that. God's looking down the track at the people's hearts that are changed, people's lives that are transformed. He's looking at much of the same stuff that's happening here, continuing there. God is not seeing what is, he's seeing what's possible. And that's what the two spies saw when they looked at the promised land. They saw what God can do, not what they could do. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." I believe that in 2026 and maybe even 2025, there was some of you had a wrestle and had a battle between keeping your mind on Christ and keeping your mind fixed on him and keeping your mind on peace. And that challenge is very real for some people, especially when it comes to the midnight hour when you go to sleep and you put your head on the pillow and the enemy wants to do everything he can to steal your peace and to steal your joy. And the mind starts thinking a thousand thoughts. And that's where I believe we need to keep him in perfect, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. In those moments, fix your eyes on Jesus. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Do not lean on your own understanding. Meaning that this is a faith scripture for me. Meaning that if I lean on my own understanding and I read the circumstances through my filter, I'm going to miss what God has for me in 2026. I'm just going to miss it. And unfortunately, the change that will take place will be at the pace of Mark, not at the pace of faith and at the pace of what God's doing. So I'm asking God continually, God, renew my mind, which is another way of saying don't lean on your own understanding, to see things the way, God, that you are seeing them. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Set your mind on things above and not on earth. So I like to think of that scripture this way. Heaven is an anchor point. Jesus is our anchor and Jesus is our rock. But we know that we are eternal. And when I think of set my mind on things above, it means that I'm changing my priorities on earth. Because I now don't have a terminal reality or belief. I have an eternal belief. So I'm seeing things through the lens of our reality of the fact that we're going to be in eternity with God forever. And the people that we know may or may not be in eternity with us. Romans 8:6, and this is my last scripture, says, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." If you let your sinful nature in 2026 control your mind, then we gave a prescription before of all of the fruit of the flesh and what it produces. And I know that no one in this room wants that. But if we allow the Spirit to control our mind, it leads to life and peace. And I believe that everybody in this room wants to see life and peace take place in 2026. And so how does God change my heart and renew my mind? I believe that we allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge of change. Allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge of change in 2026 so that we don't get to the end of 2026 and think, well, that was a doozy. What happened? How did that happen? No, change is something that you can participate with God in your life and through your life, telling his story for the main beneficiary of glorifying God. That's something that we can do in 2026 and not get stuck in ourselves. I'm believing in for more faith, for things that I can do to effectively affect my 2026 is believing for God to increase my faith. I'm believing for my prayer life to increase. I'm believing for my time in scripture. And I'm also believing for fasting to be one of the contributing factors that is actually helping me grow more intimate with God. And from that intimacy, I'm able to see my spirit and spiritual desires flourish in a manner by allowing God to renew my mind and to create in me a new heart so that I can grow closer and more intimate with him. Amen. 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 Well, let me pray this morning, as this obviously was a more teaching word for 2026, and we shall get part two next week. But God, I thank you this morning, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. And God, I thank you, Lord, as you continue to build the foundation, Lord, of our relationship with you. God, I pray that it would never be lost on us, that you most dearly love us and that we are the prize, Lord, that you want to be in relationship with us. And God, I pray, Lord, in 2026, that there would be a deeper level of intimacy with every person in this room in their relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I pray they come closer to you. God, I pray for the discipline to invite you in to places that you haven't been invited into before. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that your voice would be more clear. Lord, that people would not lean on their own understanding. Lord, but I pray that people would be, as we were in 2025, God, I pray people would be surprised as they just watch you tell your story through people's lives. God, I pray it would just stir people's faith up. Lord, it would excite them. God, I pray, Lord, that there would be, Lord, a renewed hunger, Lord, in this room. And Lord, I pray, God, as we draw closer to you, Lord, that there would be, Lord, as your Holy Spirit reveals, Lord, that there would be a repentance. Lord, there would be a repentance, Lord, of idols, of things that have gotten in the way. Lord, we've allowed our flesh to run free. God, I pray that there would be a humility, Lord, a humbleness before you. Lord, a flat posture before you, God, allowing you, Lord, to speak and to do what you want to do. God, I pray with that would be an obedience, Lord, to act upon that. And God, that there would be, Lord, a response. Lord, I thank you, Lord, as we are digging wells at the beginning of 2026, we're going to see incredible fruit, Lord, across this year. God, I pray, Lord, that this, Lord, as you tell your story, Lord, we're believing in faith that this will be our best year yet, Lord, as you're moving in people's hearts. Lord, we thank you for it. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I pray that you receive the word this morning. This might be a word that you need to go onto YouTube and have a watch again and just take notes and just let this word sink into your heart. I'm really believing my heart is that at the end of 2026, we're going to celebrate all that God did. Amen. We're going to thank God for all that he did and celebrate all that God did. And then we're going to believe again in 2027 for more of what God has for us. And so with that, I want to encourage you. We have our prayer partners on my left and right, and some music will play at the end of this service. If you have anything in your world right now where you need prayer or you're believing for God for a miracle or a breakthrough, I want to encourage you to be part of that. And there's a great people who are excited and filled with faith to pray for you. Also, February 7th is our vision day. If you are serving on the church or you are part of the leadership, I want to encourage you to prioritize that time. We're going to have, is Chick-fil-A okay? Yeah? Or should we go In-N-Out? I'm unspiritualizing our whole moment here. So, and then we have that volunteers, the planning dinner with Christina on the 11th of January at 3 p.m. as well, which is part of our fundraising process for what we're doing for the building as well. So really exciting. A lot of good stuff coming up in church. A lot of awesome things happening in the future. Other than that, have a fantastic Sunday and we'll see you in church next week at 10 a.m. Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.